Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pigskin Picks for 2022. I'm Matt Seidel, along with the rest of the Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Okay, boys, it's time for week number two picks. And this should be a little easier, at least at the high school level, since we have some week one data to work with. First of all, any takeaways after the opening week of high school football? Derek, I know you saw three games in 3 days. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was good to get back to, watching high school sports and high school football. I enjoyed checking out the Napoleon Brooklyn Columbia Central game, the Olivet Charlotte game, and the Dexter Grosse Pointe South game. So it was a good weekend. I think the thing that definitely reminded me from watching those series game is that running the ball is king in high school football, right? So if you got a dominant running back, that really can carry you. I know that was Charlotte's case in their win over Olivet, and that was definitely Dexter's case in their win over Grosse Pointe South with Cole Cabana in that game having a day. So that's my takeaway.
Tropes, how about you?
Yeah, I got a few hot takes, I think, as the kids like to say. Vandercook loses 77-0 in week one. I think we need to have, instead of picking a game, we need to have like an over-under on when Vandy shuts their season down. I smell an early exit to the year with that 8-man football. I'm a little worried about that. Hopefully they gather the troops and get moving forward here. It's just demoralizing, though, when that happens. I feel bad for kids and coaches. You know, it's a tough deal. I don't know how in the world we're not picking the Lumen Traverse City St. Francis game this week. So like the whole week's like I'm boycotting the whole week, really. Like if I don't win the picks this week, I mean, and we're not giving the people what they want. The people want Lumen Traverse City St. Francis. And then the other thing, to Derek's point, not only are numbers incredibly low in the state of Michigan in football right now on squads, and then obviously it's all about the running game. That's been my complaint. I love high school sports. I enjoy high school football. I'll never say I love high school football, because I've said forever, Matt, and you and I have gone back probably for 20 years. I've argued this. It looks nothing like Saturday and Sunday. So I like it because I like the traditions and the competition and people following their schools. But it is a very different game than what we watch on TV on the weekends, but incredibly enjoyable. But with the small rosters everywhere around, I think the theme this year is, are we going to start looking at unified football teams like we do hockey teams at some point? You know, because that 8-man football, that number keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, no doubt. 8-man football too, maybe would allow some teams not to play so many guys both ways. I still think that is just one of the real flaws in high school football. And I say that as a basketball coach who sometimes watches games from a different lens, but I've always thought that in the smaller school football, that's just a big deal. By the way, Lumen, we're saving you, Tropes, by not having Lumen Christi on this week as one of our picks, because Derek and I would both pick against them and you would pick them and we would both win like we did this week with that. And so like just kind of save you and keep your record above 500 or at least at 500. I only got to see one game, and it was a great environment in Olivet. What a crowd we had for Olivet Charlotte for our opener. The wrong team won that game, but it was fun nonetheless. It's funny you bring up running. You know, we're trying to find our offensive identity in Olivet this year. We were throwing the ball around a little bit more than we normally do, and maybe Charlotte had something to do with that. But the one drive in the third quarter, when we're down 22-8 at half, we get the ball to start the third quarter. We went back to old-fashioned Olivet football, man. I formation, and we just pounded it right down the field and scored to make it a one-score game. We could never get tied or ahead, but it's interesting that high school teams, that really is the high school game for the majority of teams. So anyway, looking at this week's records, our first week, Derek, it leads the way with a 7-3 record. He had a perfect Thursday, and that carried him to a 7-3 record. Coach Trope and yours truly are sitting at 5-5. I know I had an 0-5 Friday, so I don't know. I got to figure out my Friday strategy a little bit better. Unfortunately, there aren't many high school games on Friday this week. But, yeah, so that's week one, and we will keep a tally going from there. But the young buck leads after 1 week. This week we have 7 high school games on our schedule, all on Thursday, and 3 college games we're going to pick. One of those is on Friday, and 2 of them are on Saturday. So let's get to it. Our first game that we're going to talk about, this will be, again, the Thursday game. Homer, 0-1 at Jonesville, 0-1. Derek, you're first.
Yeah, definitely an interesting game. I view these two teams as two of the best teams in the Big 8. I think them and Reading are kind of my opinion, in my opinion, the three top teams. I was not really surprised to see Homer lose to Ithaca. I know Ithaca's a good program on a regular basis. I don't think that was a terrible showing for them. They did put up some points. They scored into the 30s, and even though they gave up 60, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I was very surprised to see Jonesville go down. I thought Jonesville was a team that, you know, had a very legitimate case to go undefeated or be undefeated late into the year. And they lost to Hillsdale and kind of got, at least based on, you look at the score, they got dominated. You know, it was they're down 21-0. They did score one touchdown. I think Dominic Aponte scored a touchdown. I'm probably pronouncing that last name wrong, but he scored one in the second half. And they kind of, I guess made it look a little more reasonable there. But I was shocked by that. They had beat up Hillsdale last year. They returned a lot of players on their team. Jonesville's got their quarterback, Cohen Keller, threw for over 1,500 yards and 27 touchdowns last year. I know they have multiple weapons that are basketball players out there on the football field. Brady Wright, who's a very good guard for them in the basketball department, but it's also a good wideout. And then Tyler Schofield, one of their bigs, I know is a big receiving tight end for them. But those guys were kind of really quiet the whole night there. They only, they were held under 200 yards for the game. Meanwhile, Homer, I didn't have a lot on what happened in their game. But I do know they've got Davey Moan at quarterback. Again, another basketball guy out there, very athletic kid who can throw the ball around as well. He had over 1,400 yards last year as well. So you got experienced quarterbacks on both sides. I expect this one to be a good game. It's kind of, they'll be Cascades rivals as well, I guess you could say, in a year. But, I think I'm going to, even though I'm a little spooked by the way Jonesville looked in week one, I'm going to go with Jonesville over Homer in this one to get back on track.
Speaking of the Cascades had a great showing last week overall, football wise. So you just referenced them really quickly there with Homer and Jonesville. I would disagree. I don't think Homer had a very good showing. It's a long trip up to Ithaca. The JV loses 58-8. The varsity takes a 60-39 drubbing, but I guess you and I look at competitiveness a little bit differently over there. That being said, I do agree Jonesville's offense struggled, to say the least, under 200 yards with a lot of talented guys. Word on the street already is that tonight's Sunday meeting in Jonesville with the football staff, they are going to have a guest speaker. They're bringing Jeff Turner in, who is an X and O whiz on the basketball court. And this is a basketball podcast. I mean, let's be honest. They're bringing Jeff in, and he's gonna draw up some new things for this week. I like Jonesville keeping it really close because of that. Jeff's going to get innovative with the Jonesville offense, but I still like Homer with the win this week.
I like Homer in this one too. They return, they got 8 starters back on offense. Derek referenced Moen, the quarterback, who's a headache in basketball a little bit too. They got a receiver, Carter Harris. Jonesville has won the last 3 meetings convincingly. I mean, in big time fashion, scoring tons of points, and they have, they've had a stingy defense over the years, but I just think Homer's offense is too dynamic in this one. I am going to go with Homer. So that's 2 of us get Homer in that one and 1 Jonesville. We shall see. Second game, Coach Trope, you're going to lead us off. We have Parma Western 1-0 against Detroit Country Day 1-0. What do you think?
All right, Caden Oliver, Alex Trudell, Noah Burdiner, I believe is how you say it. They're all part of a loaded and talented backfield and kids that are going to carry the ball for Western. They all have big games against St. John's. Oliver also had a huge impact on defense as well. All these kids are really good kids. Trudell, by the way, former Lumen Christi kid, at least in the system. I'm starting to feel the hate towards Western already. I'm not really there yet, but I'm, you know, I don't quite understand the rivalry, but I'm starting to get it. So I give Western a lot of credit. Great road test at Country Day. Country Day is a very good football team that I saw lose to Chelsea on a blocked field goal last year in a really highly competitive game. And so Country Day is one of the best teams in D5 this year. The only thing is this is poor scheduling by Western. This is a long bus trip on a Thursday after school. This should be a Friday night game. They should have said, hey, we'll come to you, but we're coming on Friday when the kids can sleep in, do a little pregame, you know, get there early, things like that. Because of that bus ride and the fact that Country Day is just better, I like Country Day in this one. And I last week I said on the pod that I would never pick a team that onsides all the time, like Stockbridge in a game. I'm going to probably have to amend that later based on this week's matchups. But my new thing is, I'm never picking Western. So here we go, Country Day.
Wow. Okay. Wait, back to Lumen Christi has a system, they have a school system, or they just pluck guys coming into the ninth grade? Is that, I didn't know they had
considering the best athletes out of Olivet in the last 10 years have come from Albion, I don't know really if you've got a lot of room to talk. I think school of choice has pretty much changed the dynamic across the board. I mean, if we really want to break down rosters, I think, and pick addresses of players, I think you're going to find that most schools are looking for kids from other districts.
And there's a trivia question that can never be answered. What's the last good Olivet athlete to come from Albion? I don't remember one. If you got an answer for that, please send it to us. What the heck was that? Anyway, this is a tough one. I think Western rushed for 303 yards. That's just a lot. Back to high school teams rushing the ball down the field. They are not going to rush for 303 yards against this Country Day defense, which we know is going to be very athletic and well coached. Country Day has a junior running back named Gabe Winovich. I think he's going to be way too much for Western to deal with. And this Country Day defense, this just in, is not St. John's defense. So I got Country Day winning, and I could see it being by maybe a couple of scores.
Yeah, I'm pretty similar with you guys on this one. I know Western, you know, they used the big play, it seems like, to really beat up on St. John's, you know, touchdowns of 90, 64, and 59 yards. I think, you know, Country Day can keep them from doing that, or assuming they do, I think Country Day will be in good shape. I agree that Gabe Winovich, you know, he's a top 10 player in the state. If you look at 247 Sports for the class of 2024, I think, you know, he will be the difference maker for them offensively. I'm sure Western will be keyed into them. If they can slow him down, make Country Day beat them with somebody else, maybe we have ourselves a ball game. But I think I'm going to be with both you guys on this one and go with Country Day.
Game number three, we have a big rivalry game right off the bat, and they always play each other early in their seasons, football and basketball. Williamston 1-0 at Lansing Catholic 0-1. Williamston coming off a nice win over Zeeland East 30-12, and Lansing Catholic loses to Lansing Waverly 18-7, and that's one that probably caught people off guard. That was one of at least three preseason number ones in various divisions. Football has, 20 divisions, but Lansing Catholic, a D6 school, I think they were the preseason number one, goes down to Waverly. This is going to be a good game. I think it's at Lansing Catholic. This is going to come right down to the fourth quarter, I assume it usually does, and there's ebbs and flows in these games. Lansing Catholic's quarterback, Alex Fernandez, kind of establishing himself. He threw for 188, 87 of them to Jack Jacobs. Williamson's got a good runner. Alex Petersburg rushed for 120 yards. I don't know. I keep thinking Jake Bullock and Koji Room. I think they should be honorary captains should come out of half court, the new basketball coaches, be part of it. I think it's at Lansing Catholic. Jake owes Koji some hospitality during this game. But I've got Williamson taking this one. Derek, what do you think?
You're really showing that you're a basketball. You just called it half court, by the way. I don't know if you caught yourself saying that.
I did not say that. Did I say that? Can we edit that out? I don't know, but I meant midfield.
Nope, that's staying in there. That'd be midfield for you on the football field. But hey, we're basketball coaches. What can we say? This is a great matchup, rivalry. Yeah, really, if you look at it, I agree, that Lansing Catholic, they had some nice numbers offensively. It looked to me, again, just following along on Twitter and reading a little bit of articles, like the biggest issue they had was maybe some turnovers in the first half. It's a ball security that can obviously happen early in the year. You know, that was definitely surprising to see Waverly pull out that victory. You know, yeah, for Williamston, you know, beating Zeeland East 30-12 looks like a solid win. You know, the interesting thing there, you know, Petersburg, as you mentioned, running for 120 yards, he's the quarterback. So you got a dual threat guy there that can throw it and run it. He only had 63 passing yards. So I think that they're pretty run heavy. I agree. It should be a close game. If you look at the history of this of the rivalry, it's always close, even when Lansing Catholic goes on to win state titles with ease. So I expect a close game, but I'm going to give the edge to the home team and Lansing Catholic in this one.
Should be a great game. Nick Gruber finally got Lansing Catholic on the board in the second half of their game against Waverly. They got shut out in the first half with a couple turnovers. I think Lansing Catholic is better than it showed. I think the turnover bug got them early. A lot of guys cramping on Thursday and Friday nights. The humidity was awful. That first game of the year, adrenaline's pumping, excited. Kids have a hard time controlling their emotions. It's a very common theme, I think, early in the year in football games. So I think this should be a great game. I think the fact that Lansing Catholic's at home will help. I think Lansing Catholic is having a pep rally during the day of the game. And I could see a Jake Bullock guarantee victory, and also that he might guarantee some wins during basketball season. Just saying, Koji, it might be out there. As far as, you know, I got to stay with the theme. I got to stay with my Catholic schools. I like Lansing Catholic right here. I think Williamson is a really good school, and anytime you beat a Zeeland school, it's solid, but I'm going with Lansing Catholic.
Okay, moving to game number four on our docket, we have Addison 1-0 at Manchester 1-0. Big Cascades Conference game here. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is the most interesting game in the Cascades this week as they open up conference play. You know, Addison just rolled 44-0 this past week, like they tend to do quite often in recent years. And then Manchester picked up a 20-6 win over Whitmore Lake. Yeah, you know, if you look at Addison, they have 20 straight wins in the conference. So that dates back a few years here. They ran for nearly 300 yards on the ground in their win. They spread it around a little bit with their, you know, full house backfield or whatever you want to call it, the wing tee, however you want to describe what they do. I probably don't have the technical term down there, but it's definitely a lot of deception, different guys running the ball. It appears Spencer Brown is going to be their kind of top runner this year. He had 104 yards and 2 touchdowns in their victory. You know, again, by the way, another basketball kid. He's already had 2 years on the varsity as a freshman and sophomore before this season. I believe their quarterback is Dylan Saudi, who's again basketball player, I expect them to be a very physical bunch. Meanwhile, on the other side, I think Manchester's a little bit of a sleeper in the Cascades. I think they are extremely dangerous. They had a couple of close losses last year. I know I watched one at Napoleon that they should have won. They threw an interception in the end zone, like in the last 10 seconds. If they would have scored, they would have won. They actually only needed a field goal to win that game. But and they had a couple other ones against good teams that they just barely lost. And they had Cannon Duffy at quarterback, who had a nice showing in their win. He threw for over 1,200 yards a year ago. Andrew Campbell had a nice 56-yard touchdown that was big in the second half against Whitmore Lake. And then Jackson McGuigan, he's possibly one of the best wide receivers in the Cascades. He had 51 catches for 6 touchdowns a year ago, and he had 7 catches for over 100 yards the other night. So I think they're a very tough team. I think they're going to make a lot of noise in the Cascades this year. I think the biggest problem is, you know, it's just with the way Addison plays, they're so hard to stop. And early in the year, I just think it's going to be tough for them to deal with all that up front. You know, everyone should hopefully still be pretty healthy in this game. So I'm going to go with Addison, but that's really no knock on Manchester. Just the fact I think Addison's going to overwhelm them.
That was a 16-minute recap for two schools that have a total population of 400 kids. Thank you, Derek. Addison, Manchester, this is not the West Gaul era anymore in Manchester, so they're not extremely dangerous. Napoleon wasn't that good last year. That's why the game was close in football. And it was their only – it was a 6-6 game with Whitmore Lake at the end of the third quarter last week until they finally pulled away with a big run by Andrew Campbell for 56 yards. So this is not an extremely dangerous Manchester team. Unless Nick Davis, the former Wisconsin Badger, steps onto the field for the Dutch, they are doomed against Addison.
Yeah, a little note on Nick Davis. He decides not to play basketball his senior year. Just want to throw that out there. Nice, whoever took that job. What the heck was he thinking about? Anyway, Manchester, they have a guy named Cannon Duffing. And they have another guy named Bubba Duffing. I mean, how do you pick against a team with those kind of guys? I assume they're brothers. Maybe they're cousins. Maybe it's coincidental. I don't know. How do you pick against them? Well, I think you pick against them because Addison has literally kicked their butt in recent years. I, too, am going to go with Addison in this game. So let's move to game number five. Ann Arbor, Father Gabriel Richard, 1-0 at Jackson Northwest, 1-0. Josh, how many people from Northwest can you offend during your recap? Go ahead.
Oh, I think there's going to be a few because Jackson Northwest is taking on the Fighting Rex Stanzacs. I'm sorry, Fighting Tim Canes. Anyways, Father Gabriel Richard, the Irish, with a big win last week against UPrep. Okay. But I'm going to give you some more numbers with Jackson Northwest. An impressive first week for new coach, all-name team, Stafford Newsom. I mean, Stafford Newsom, that's a great name. Jackson Northwest, 400-plus yards rushing last week. But Eaton Rapids is not exactly I-8 football, all right? And I'm going to have to go with my Irish this week from Ann Arbor. Father Gabriel Richard should be able to pull this one out. Again, happy for Stafford, happy for the Northwest people. My son Zach is friends with several guys from Northwest. His phone was blowing up. We're back. We're the real deal. We're going to be great. So I love the excitement for those kids. But again, Eaton Rapids, not exactly I-8 football. So I'm going with Father Gabriel Richard and the Catholic League here.
Correction, your son was friends with a bunch of kids from Northwest after that prediction. But anyway, yeah, Northwest, big game on the ground. That's been our theme. Isaiah Hawes, great spelling to Isaiah's first name, by the way. 233 on the ground with two TDs. And another one of his teammates scored a couple TDs. They had a bunch of TDs, obviously. Well, they had four, I guess, again, in that game. I'm kind of with Josh on this one. The thing that scares me, don't have a lot of information on Gabriel Richard and their big win. Thank you, media, for that. But just it's an impressive win anytime you put up 55 and win by over 40. But again, it's back to Eaton Rapids. And no offense to Eaton Rapids, but their football program has been down, really down, the last few years. And Northwest has not been great either the last few years. So congrats to them on getting this win. But I think just on personnel alone, returning from Richard, I'm going to take the Irish in this one and possibly big.
It definitely, you know, two teams that struggled a year ago. You know, Northwest was 1-8. Gabriel Richard was 2-7. Yeah, Stafford Newsom, you know, like you said, first year coach, it's definitely awesome to get a little momentum in your first game. And, you know, Gabriel Richard, too, a team that had a rough year a year ago to win big. You know, both teams are probably feeling pretty good coming into week two. So that's always nice to see. I'm going to go with Gabriel Richard as well. They have a second year coach, John Robinson. So he's had one more year to kind of mold his group. So that's my reasoning for going with Gabriel Richard.
Can we talk about the fact how poor the sports coverage is in Ann Arbor, by the way? You kind of referenced it a little bit, Matt, but the Jackson area with JTV and just MLive in Jackson, and then the Lansing area is incredible with their coverage. It's embarrassing how bad the Ann Arbor area is covered in sports. They don't have their own sports. They don't have their own news. They don't have anything. It's just, and they're so understaffed. And it was back in the day, the Rich Resler days and things like that, man, they had it going when there was actually a newspaper. But it really is a shame how poorly they cover sports in that area.
Yeah, yeah, I look at it as an opportunity. Somebody should be jumping in, whether it's radio or television or print media or, you know, digital media. I don't care. It's just it is a missing link somewhere.
And I know some guys.
Yeah, I do. I know. Yeah. I know one close to retirement, too. Maybe I'm in. Let me know. So let me know when I sign up. But all right, we're moving on to our sixth game. And this is a tough one. Ypsilanti Community, they call themselves, 0-1 at Stockbridge, 1-0. Ypsilanti plays Bay City Western, loses 57-7, and is outgained on the ground 396-17. Okay. Stockbridge beat Springport 38-6. And I apologize, Stockbridge. I picked Springport in this one. I think I may have been the only one that did that. Maybe Josh did as well. That, you know, I heard Stockbridge really struggled in their scrimmage, but they turned things around and played very well against Springport. So I don't know. I mean, the Stockbridge, the quarterback Rogozinski, he threw for 159 and four TDs, but that, you know, that's typical of a Stockbridge quarterback. They wing it all over the place. These games take about 3.5 hours to play. Drew Robinson, who I referenced last week, he had 107 of those receiving yards. Another Rogozinski, he rushed for 61. They put up some numbers, but they usually do. The Ipsy being out game 396-17. Bay City Western's a good program if you look at their history. So they went up against it. Not sure why they scheduled them. This one looks like a Stockbridge win on paper, but Danny Brown, who I know well, the head coach at Ypsilanti, he's also the new athletic director at Ypsilanti. He ain't losing to Stockbridge. I'm going with Ypsilanti community in this one in a close game.
Yeah, this is definitely a tough one. I mean, like, Ipsy's just been just struggling like crazy the last 2 years here. If you look on paper, I mean, they were 1-8 last year, and their win was against a team called New Standard. Not really sure what that is. I guess it's a school.
Surprise, yeah. John Zajac hasn't got them on the Tecumseh schedule yet.
Oh, gosh. But, yeah, it's just tough to compare, like, an SEC white school to a GLAC school. You know, it's not, you don't see a lot of crossover there. So it's hard to compare, you know. I rolled with the Bridge last week by myself, and I'm doing it again. I'm going with the Bridge again. Why not?
Danny Brown, you referenced him, just a great human being, great educator, great for kids in every way. I had nothing but great experiences with Danny in my time working in Ypsilanti. So I wish him the best. I think it's great that he's taken over as athletic director as well. Very few people care and love Ypsilanti as much as he does. So if anybody can get it going, it's him. Yeah, you mentioned Jalen Rogozinski, 4 scores and over 200 yards last week in an impressive win, and still the second best athlete in his family. Sister Gwen, who's playing hoop at SAU, still's got bragging rights over Jalen. Maybe you can get there one day, young fella. And then, yeah. I mean, I referenced it earlier at the beginning of the podcast about unified football teams. If there was ever a school that needs that right now, it's Ypsilanti. I wish Danny the best, but I mean, I think Stockbridge rolls in this one, and I think Ipsy's going to have a really long year in the SEC White. I feel bad for them, and I know the kids will compete. There's a lot of great pride and toughness in that community, and I love my time teaching there. But they don't have enough horses.
Thank you for that apologetic prediction. Let's move on. In our 7th prep game, we have Whitmore Lake, 0-1 at another GLAC school, Leslie, 0-1. Well, I'm not going to call Leslie a GLAC school anymore, but they're having their victory tour this year. But Derek, you're leading us off with that one. What do you think?
We're setting a timer to this too.
Yeah, I'll keep it quick just for you, Josh. You know, this is definitely a legendary rivalry. They've played one time in the history in 1963, so they're bringing it back. I think that both these teams, you know, obviously struggled in week one. I'm not expecting either of these teams to make a lot of noise throughout the year, if I'm being totally honest. They both were limited in their offensive output. I'm going to go with Whitmore Lake in this one because Hank Dreff's Dexter legend. I don't know if he has legend status. He took them to the Final Four in baseball a year ago. He should be the next head coach at Dexter for the baseball program. I'm making my statement for that right now whenever Penn is done over there. But yeah, that's why I'm going with Whitmore Lake. There you go. That's my reasoning.
I don't know if I followed that well, but I did hear that they both struggled offensively, which they did. Again, Manchester and Whitmore Lake were 6-6 at the end of the third last week. Leslie only put 7 points up to Dansville. So Ryan Masters got bragging rights in that one over Matt Johns. I like Leslie getting the win here. I think the first team to 10 wins. I think Leslie, with its home field advantage, gets it done. I think this will be a really close game. This is a coin flip, I think, either way. But I'm pulling for Leslie in this one over Whitmore Lake. And go ahead, Matt. It's all you.
Yeah, I had a hard time picking Leslie. You know, they're on my crap list right now. But anyway, sorry, Matt. I had to say that. Ethan Kamen, I think, is going to be the difference in this game. He's an athlete that I kind of admire. Like a baseball field, basketball court, and football field. I think he's going to be the difference. He had 97 yards receiving, I think, in this one this past week. But it's going to be a close game. I agree with you guys. It's going to be a low-scoring game. But Leslie's at home. I think they're going to show out in this one and win sometime in the fourth quarter. Okay, we're moving on now to our college games. We have a Friday college game. Of course we do. Western Michigan University at Michigan State. When we pick college and programs, we are going to pick with the point spread. The spread that we're going with on this one is Michigan State minus 20. It means they're favored by 20 for those of you who are not on FanDuel. Anyway, I think at least one of the three podcast hosts is pretty regular on that. But Josh, you're going to lead us off. What do you think about this one?
Just so you know, I'm on DraftKings. So when they want to sponsor the pod, when I, you know, light it up in these college picks, they can become a sponsor. I'm a loyal DraftKings guy. And you mentioned earlier, you know, I know you guys will give all your recaps and stats, so I'll just keep the listeners entertained here. But when you mentioned earlier retirement gigs, this I think is going to be mine. I mean, with my talents picking these games against the spread, I could see that in my future. So is there a guy that took more advantage of two wins in the history of college football than Mel Tucker? All right, Tuck coming, right? So I can't get over. So they beat Michigan in a COVID year, weird year. Hey, you won the game. Both teams, same situation. That's all right. I think Michigan State actually finished the season that year, though. Not sure Michigan did. But anyways, he wins that one at Michigan in front of no crowd. Then last year, they have one big win at home, and it was a big win over a Michigan team in the snow and things like that. And then they kind of had a disappointing finish to the year, and he turns it into a $9 million a year contract just because LSU came sniffing a little bit. So, hey, Mel Tucker, genius, moves from Colorado. You know, nobody hits the transfer portal more than him. We joke about high school recruiting, but let me tell you, this guy, he's probably recruiting guys starting running backs right now, that type of thing. But they got another great transfer from Colorado. They should have a good season, but I think Michigan State severely overpaid for that contract, and I think they'll pay for it at the end. That all being said, I like the Spartans to cover Friday night at home in East Lansing.
You know, I can't take much more of Tuck coming, or I've got my own little version of that slogan, but I'll give that to you guys privately. But if there's ever been a coach, a local guy, Division I coach who self-promotes more than this dude and the way their program self promotes their coach. How about promoting some of their players every once in a while? That'd be a great concept, Michigan State. I will pull against them all year long. I might pick them occasionally if they're on our docket, if they are deserving. But this is an interesting game. You know, that Western offense is always good. The passing game is going to be untested this year. A new quarterback, but they got the running back tandem of, you know, Sean Tyler and Ladarius Jefferson, and those guys are prolific, and they're going to get some yards, but they're going to have to be able to throw the ball to stay in this game. Interesting little tidbit, you know, Jeff Thorne is the offensive coordinator at Western. That is the father of MSU quarterback Peyton Thorne. So maybe the biggest Spartan slappy I know is Evan Jones, who is my assistant coach, and I work with him at Olivet. He thinks that might keep State from running this one up. So I'm going to go with that little nugget. I'm going to pick Western and the points in this one. Derek?
Yeah, you know, Western obviously had an interesting year last year where they beat Pitt, who went on to win the ACC. So that was obviously a huge win for them early in the year. They obviously opened with Michigan a year ago and lost by 33. So with that 20-point spread, I think the biggest thing here is, like you guys mentioned, I can't stand State either, obviously, but I think, you know, Mel Tucker clearly is all about style points over there. So I think they will try to run up the score if they can. So I'm going to pick them to win by more than 20.
Okay. Our ninth game and our second college game, and this is moving to Saturday. We have Colorado State at Michigan. Michigan is a 27-point favorite. I'm going to start with this one. I thought yesterday the quarterback announcement came out. It was kind of odd to have to make a public announcement that you're going to the quarterback competition continues. They're going to start Cade in one game and JJ in the second game. I thought just to put that out there was an odd thing, but maybe there's pressure to do so and they want a public interview or something. But I don't have a problem with it. I guess I'm one of the few guys that thinks you can play with two quarterbacks, and if they're both good, then use them, because they're both very different. So why not? That's just my opinion. Colorado State has 12 transfer starters, so I have no idea how these guys are going to come together, but they have some talent. Their new coach, Jay Norvell, is from Nevada. They're going to be winging it. They're going to be taking chances defensively. I just think Michigan has too many weapons, and this one's going to get away from Colorado State in the end. I've got Michigan covering the 27-point spread. Derek?
Yeah, definitely intriguing. You know, to watch these next couple of games, since you said it's basically a public interview now at the quarterback spot. The drama around the quarterback thing is a little over the top, in my opinion. It's crazy too how you get all these like really adamant opinions from like non-Michigan people, you know, like the States fans that are just like, oh my God, I can't believe what they're doing. They have all, you know, Mike Valeni is a, you know, if you're JJ McCarthy, how have you not transferred and this and that? They'll read into every little thing about it. But yeah, I'm really excited to see how things go. With Michigan this year, I think they should be really exciting on offense. I think what maybe is kind of getting lost in all this is Michigan's going to run the ball like 75-80% of the time anyways. So whoever's the quarterback doesn't really matter, because everyone kind of forgot that, I think, after they won the Big Ten title, that like the whole year they just run the ball. And hopefully they can hold up in the backfield with Corum and Edwards staying healthy. But I worry a little bit about the defense. I'm very intrigued to see how that goes with the new defensive coordinator and then a lot of new faces out there. I'm going to pick Colorado State to keep this within 27, maybe more so just because I'm a little worried about Michigan's defense, maybe giving up a few cheap ones as they're figuring things out here early.
Yeah, I thought this was a really tough game to pick with the spread. And I say that because I think people underestimate what a great coach Colorado State now has. I am a huge Harbaugh fan. Love Jim Harbaugh. Great for entertainment, but also great for experiences. I mean, he provides so many great experiences for his players there. You know, I think that the quarterback decision was actually brilliant, because now these guys can settle in, not look over their shoulder every bad series. They can get some flow, get things going. I think when you make changes at half or quarter or series, they never can really settle in. So I think that was brilliant as well. I think this is a tough one to pick. I'm going to go with Michigan to cover, but I think they're going to need some late scores to do it. I think this is going to be close early because of the conservative play calling of Michigan, and that's always been kind of their MO. And I think Colorado State early will hit a couple big hitters, just catching them off guard. So I think Michigan covers, but really late.
Okay, our final game, and probably the biggest game in the country this weekend. We have Notre Dame at Ohio State. Ohio State is believe it or not, a 17-point favorite at this point. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely an intriguing game. You gotta love having the first game of the year be a big one like this. You know, Ohio State, obviously, offensively, is just going to be absolutely explosive with C.J. Stroud, Travion Henderson, two guys that are, you know, Heisman candidates before the year even starts. They got wide receivers that so many of them, they don't even know what to do with them. You know, so I expect them to be able to put up points. The defense is obviously all the talk around Ohio State, and can they, you know, be more physical and all that after they, you know, lose to Michigan a year ago and struggled stopping the run. And that was the same issue they had maybe in the Utah game that they won in a shootout, and then they're lost to Oregon. The new defensive coordinator, people think that maybe they fixed it. Obviously, it's intriguing on the Notre Dame side with Marcus Freeman taking over, you know, after having an off season. It's tough because I think Notre Dame is just overrated. The hype machine's going a little too much right now, like heading into this first year. I just don't think they have it set yet. I mean, like, I don't trust their quarterback. I don't think that, well, I guess it's not too uncommon to hear that they're overrated, but anyways, I really would pick their under on their win total for the year. I just think that, you know, they're not as good yet. I think that they're going to be very dangerous with the way they got recruiting going. At the same time, though, 17 points is a ton. So I'm going to take Notre Dame with the points.
I love when a Michigan fan talks about other teams being overrated. Anyways, I happen to agree with you, though, in this case. First year starter at quarterback, new coach, even though I thought Marcus Freeman was a great hire. And I think in the future, Notre Dame will be better than they've ever been because of him. I do think this is a daunting task going into Columbus on a Saturday night. I know there's some questions about Ohio State's defense, but there's more questions about Notre Dame's offense, in my opinion. So I think what you're going to see is unfortunately, and you guys know what a huge Notre Dame fan I am, I think you're going to see an absolute rout. I think Ohio State is going to put it on the Irish. I think they're going to cover with ease. Yeah, I might be putting a little bit of money on the Buckeyes this weekend, just saying, on DraftKings. And I do think this is a 3-4 loss Notre Dame team this year. The schedule is just too tough. I mean, if we had Michigan's schedule, I'd like an 11-1 season, but we unfortunately don't.
Well, get in the league and maybe you'll have a schedule like Michigan. But until then, you just stuck with whatever you got. So Notre Dame is going to get their absolute butts kicked in this one, and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. And I don't, Ohio State is not my biggest rival as a Michigan fan. Michigan State is still the rival that I love to get after. I enjoyed that Ohio State win last year, but CJ Stroud is going to be outstanding this year. Hope the guy stays healthy. Notre Dame, my peeps tell me, had a ton of injuries in camp. They're young on the offensive line. Their skill players are untested. There's no way they can stay in a track meet with Ohio State, especially this early in the year. I see Ohio State covering easily in this one and putting Notre Dame where they need to be. Josh, you have your hand up. Would you like to speak, sir?
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity if you become a DraftKings member and just use me as a reference, because I think you win a lot of money on this game. And then the other thing I was going to say is I kind of figured that Ohio State wasn't a huge rival for you as a Michigan fan, because I think Michigan's beat Ohio State once in the last 20 years. So is that part of the reason why? Is because one team has to actually win for it to be a rivalry? Is that?
Well, I'm a lot older than you. So my window is not 20 years. My window would be, let's say, maybe 45 or 50 years would be since I've been following Michigan football. So I think it's pretty balanced during that time. We've had our run as well. And
I know you're older. Derek referenced the Whitmore Lake Leslie game in 1963. I think you might have been a sophomore at Lincoln High School.
I was born that year, but I did catch my eyes too. So anyway, yeah, that was fun. It's going to be some good football, and our picks are a little different. I think there's some tougher ones. You had the point spread. We've been joking that we're going to start putting point spreads on high school games and picking them then. That would be tricky, but we don't want to encourage gambling at the high school level, so we'll stay away from that, especially in the positions that we're in. So sorry, MHSAA, I'm just joking about that. So, but anyway, that was good. We will we'll be back next week with 10 more, probably a mixture of high school and college. And then the following week, we might even throw a pro game in there just to keep people honest. So anyway, have a great week. Talk to you soon.